Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the Epiphany.
When I was an undergraduate, there was a particular tradition in the local parish of a solemn procession to the crib on the Feast of Epiphany. The priest in cope and all the servers and all people gathered there. The magi were there. What was unusual about this devotion was the fact that it was a Eucharistic procession. Jesus, present in the monstrance, was placed in the crib just where the manger was supposed to be. All were in adoration, not of a tradition or a memory or a lovely story, but of God himself, made man, and living and present with us today. This devotion really brought home the point that what the wise men did as the first Gentiles meeting the Lord, we too do every time we come into his real presence in the Eucharist, in the Mass. It is as if that moment of the Epiphany, when the wise men bowed down and worshipped him, is caught in time, or rather, we join in with them as they are shown the Christ and adore him. They're the first adorers, and then millions and millions join in over the centuries. We are part of the great event of the Epiphany. Jesus is shown to us, and we're called to the same spirit of adoration. Epiphany means to show forth, and in the Mass and in Eucharistic adoration, Christ is still shown forth. The monstrance is often made to look like a sun, with the host in the centre, and there are often rays, golden or silver, coming forth from the centre. These remind us of the grace which shines forth simply by being in the presence of the source of light. We have a need for wonder as human beings, for gazing on in contemplation. Most people try and satisfy that before the TV box, but a few realize the far greater possibilities of adoration before the Holy Eucharist exposed in the monstrance. We may not always feel the immediate presence of God, but his grace penetrates us nonetheless, just as the rays of the sun will reach us if we allow them to do so. It is the Eucharist in the Epiphany today which shows forth Christ, that teaches us wonder and contemplation. He is still amongst us. Do we really believe the big stuff about the real presence? If so, then do our actions fully correspond with that belief? One of the great advances in faith in modern times is the increase in the practice of adoration. People do really spend hours before the Lord. Perhaps as this new year begins, we can ask ourselves about our own Eucharistic devotion. Do I come to adoration, or do I pray in the church during the week? How deep is my reverence as I enter the church? Do I realize that I have come into the real presence of the one who made all things? That here I join those first adorers at the manger? The reality is the same. There's an often told story of a Jewish man who was being shown around a church of some cultural merit by the local priest. He looked at the stained glass windows, at the fine marble, at the stations of the cross, and when the priest came to the center of the church, he said, "Oh yes, and that is the tabernacle, rather fine. We believe that Jesus, the Lord, is present there," and they moved on. At the end, the Jewish man thanked the priest profusely for his kind visit, but said, "If I believed what you believed, that God is present in the tabernacle, really and truly, I would be prostrate before that altar." He knew, as every Jew knows, in the scriptures we call the Old Testament, there is a concept of the presence of God abiding in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, and the idea of a tabernacle, and the Shekinah, the presence of God with the people. He knew the significance of that. But that is only a spiritual presence. Here, Catholics believe God, the Son, abides really and truly behind the mere veil of bread. O great mystery. When we come into the church, do we really think of what we're doing? Do we genuflect? Do we realize who we're reverencing? It's not an empty gesture, but it is precisely that bending down in worship that the wise men did before us. Just because this happens every day or every week, it shouldn't make us any less appreciative. As a priest, I have to realize before each Mass the awesome nature of what is going to take place. Nothing less than a miracle, through which bread and wine really, truly, literally become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I once saw in a sacristy a little notice for the priest to help him to prepare. Dear priest, it read, say this Mass as if it were your first Mass, your last Mass, your only Mass. This can be applied to all of us, to every encounter with the Holy Eucharist. We need more awe. It's one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, more reverence, more penetration of the spiritual majesty that we come before. The holy curé d'Ars, St. John Marie Vianney, used to say, if the priest truly knew what he was doing at Mass, he would die, not out of fear, but out of love. We're called to pray with all our hearts now as we approach the Eucharist. Because he who made the universe, he who gave us life, who makes every difference in our lives, on whom we depend for eternal salvation, he is with us. Don't be surprised if this belief is difficult, or at least difficult to fully appreciate. It does take a great act of faith and trust in Jesus' promise and the Church's assurance. It was much the same for those wise men who came to Jesus. They had to recognize God in a baby. We are called to recognize him in what looks and tastes and smells like bread. The difference is we have the prior knowledge of Christ's coming, the witness of the centuries of miracles and saints. We have the strength of one another and of those around us and the billion Catholics throughout the world. When we go to Mass today, when the priest raises that host before us, personally here in the sanctuary, know that this is our own personal epiphany, and he comes for us individually. Let's adore him, say amen with confidence and reverence, and make of our hearts a place for him to rest. It will be thus for us. We only have to realize the gift and adore. And falling to their knees, they did him reverence.